For additional practice with intestate succession, let's look at the intestacy problems. With these problems, you are to determine the proper intestate distribution for the property of the following clients, assuming they were to die today, survived by the indicated individuals. You are to assume that married clients have both separate and community property. Also assume that each client owns both real and personal property. Your answers may be in fractions, reduced to simplest form, or percentages, rounded to the nearest percentage point. When answering these questions, ignore other rights the surviving spouse or children may have, such as homestead, exempt personal property, and family allowances. And then, if necessary, briefly explain the reasons behind your suggested disposition. Question 1. Client is married to husband. Neither client nor husband have children. Client's mother, father, and brother are living. Now remember, whenever you do intestacy questions, be sure to draw a diagram. It will be very helpful if you do so. And remember, many people who make errors on these questions do so because they get the family relationships incorrect. Well, in this situation, it's quite straightforward. Mother and father had two children, C and B. C's married to H, and C, client, has died. So with regard to community property, all community property goes to the surviving spouse, H. There is little doubt because there are no children with which to be concerned. That also means that with regard to separate personal property, the surviving spouse, H, gets all of the separate personal property. With regard to separate real property, H, as the surviving spouse, gets one half, or 50%, and then both parents, since they are both still alive, share the other half equally. So, mother gets one quarter of the separate real property, and father gets one quarter of the separate real property. Question 2. Client is married to husband, and they have two children, Arthur and Brenda. Neither client nor husband have children by other partners. So again, a straightforward fact pattern. With regard to the community property, the surviving spouse, H, would get all of the community because both children of the deceased spouse are also children of the surviving spouse. With regard to separate personal property, husband would get one-third of the separate personal property, with the remaining two-thirds being divided per capita with representation among A and B, which means that A would get one-third of the separate personal property, and B would get one-third of the separate personal property. With regard to the separate real property, the surviving spouse, H, gets a life estate in one-third of the separate real property, the rest of the interests of the property, that is two-thirds outright, and the remainder in H's life estate needs to be distributed to the children A and B per capita with representation. So each of A and B will receive the same amount, that is one-third of the separate real property outright, and also they each will receive one-half of the remainder. Question 3. Client is married to husband, and they have two children, Arthur and Brenda. Client has a son, Paul, by a prior partner. Husband does not have a child by another partner. So we start off again, draw the family tree appropriately, and then divide the property. With regard to the community property, this time husband only gets one half of the community property because not all of the client's descendants are the surviving spouse's descendants because P, although being a descendant of the deceased client, is not a descendant of husband. So the other half of the community property is divided among P, A, and B. So they each would get an equal amount. So we have one half of the community property to distribute. That is the half owned by C. And so they each get 1/6 of the total community. So P, A, and B each get 1/6 of the total community. Or you could also say they each get 1/3 of C's share of the community. With regard to the separate personal property, the surviving spouse H gets 1/3 of the separate personal property. The other 2/3 needs to be divided into 3 shares, one each for P, A, and B. And so if you take 2/3 and you divide it into 3 shares, that means they each will get 2/9, each will get 2/9 of the separate personal property. With regard to the separate real property, the surviving spouse H gets a life estate in 1/3 of the separate real property. Again, the 2/3 outright and the 1 remainder needs to be distributed among P, A, and B per capita with representation. So each of P, A, and B, each of them take the same amount. Each will receive 2/9 of the separate real property outright, and they each will receive 1/3 of the remainder. Again, you will also find it convenient when you are finished doing a distribution to go back and add up all the shares to make sure we have given away the entire asset. Question 4. Client is married to husband and they have 4 children, Arthur, Brenda, Charles, and Dawn. Neither client nor husband have children by other partners. Arthur has already died, survived by 1 child, Randy. Brenda has already died and is survived by 2 children, Sam and Teresa. Again, draw a diagram so we're sure who the children and grandchildren are and who they're related to. And let's start again with distributing the community property. Husband will keep his half and also will inherit client's half because all of client's descendants, all the children and grandchildren that client has, are also children and grandchildren of the surviving spouse. Therefore, husband will keep his half and inherit C's half, so husband ends up with all of the community. With regard to the separate personal property, husband gets 1/3 of the separate personal property, with the remaining 2/3 being divided per capita with representation among the children and grandchildren. We create 1 share for each surviving member of that generation, so 1 share for C, 1 share for D, and we create 1 share for each deceased member of that generation with surviving descendants, so it's 1 share for A and 1 share for B, giving us a total of 4 shares into which we take the, or divide the 2/3 of the separate personal property that is left. So if we take 2/3 and divide it into 4 equal shares, that is 2/12, or if we reduce the fraction to 1/6. So A, 1/6, remember A is dead, but A only had 1 child. So A's 1/6 would go to R of the separate personal property. B's 1/6 gets divided among his 2 children since B is dead. So S and T would each take 1/12, 1/12 of the separate personal property. C and D are both alive, so they simply get their 1/6 each of the separate personal property. Now let's take a look at the separate real property. The surviving spouse H gets a life estate in 1/3 of the separate real property. We now need to divide the remainder as well as the 2/3 outright among the children and grandchildren using the same per capita with representation scheme. So R, as the only child of A, will get 1/6 of the separate real property along with 1/4 of the remainder. S and T, dividing predeceased B's share, will each get 1/12 of the separate real property, and they each will take 1/8 of the remainder. B would have taken 1/4 of the remainder. We take that quarter divided in half, that leaves 1/8, so each of S and T get 1/8 of the remainder, along with 1/12 of the separate real property outright. The other 2 children, C and D, each take the same amount. They each take 1/6 of the separate real property outright, and they each get one quarter of the remainder in H's life estate. Now we move to the last question, number 5. Client is unmarried and childless. Mother is still alive, but father has already died. Mother and father had 2 other children, sister 1 and sister 2. Father also had a child, Harold, from a prior relationship. Map out this arrangement, and it will become apparent quickly that the main issue in this problem deals with half and whole blood. Because when C dies, C has no surviving spouse, no children, and one of his parents is deceased. Therefore, since one of his parents is deceased, the share of the deceased parent has to be divided among his brothers and sisters. So, when client died, client was survived only by his mother. The father had predeceased. Therefore, mother gets 1/2. Mother gets 50%. We now need to divide the other 50% among the 3 siblings. However, 2 are whole blood, 1 is a half blood. So we create 2 shares for each full blood and 1 share for each half blood. That means we have created 5 shares. Now we can't just go distribute those 5 shares because in reality they're not 5 shares of the whole. They are 5 shares of the half. Because remember, the mother already got half outright. We're only dividing up a half. So we have to take those 5 shares and divide them in half, which means we get 10 shares. There are actually 10 shares, because for every share, we got to divide it in half. So if you take 5 shares, 5 things, and you divide each one in half, you end up with a total of 10 items, or 10 shares. So now we have 10 shares. The rule is that each whole blood gets twice as much as each half blood. So we simply give 2 shares to each whole blood and 1 share to each half blood. So each of the 2 full-blooded siblings, S1 and S2, each get 2/10, or you can reduce that to 1/5. And the half-blooded sibling, H, gets 1 of those shares, which is 1/10. And so this problem makes sure that you understand how half and whole blood operates.